Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I did not gravel before I showed up this morning. So my voice is somewhat normal today. So I hope you enjoyed your very short sermon last week, because this is not going to be a very short sermon. It's going to be a somewhat short sermon. So hopefully that's good enough for you. We began a series last week, and it was discussing characteristics of people of the Old Testament, talking about folks that are kind of our heroes of the faith, discussing one particular attribute that defines their personality, their lifestyle, their choices, and then using that to the very end for a very specific purpose. There is going to be a difference on the third week. I don't want to spoil the surprise for you about what we're doing, but this will be our last week discussing the people from the Old Testament that have a very important characteristic about their life. And this morning we're talking about the strength of Caleb. Caleb is someone that we don't often talk about because there's not a whole lot there in the text for us to describe, but there is enough to get a feel generally on his personality. And I love this particular person because every time that you see him make a decision about something, it's always positive. There are some people in life that you meet, that I meet, that are just always negative. The glass is always half empty. They could be doing so much better health-wise, financially, lifestyle-wise, but they never really see the positive outlook of what truly is going on in their life. And one person that defines the idea of the power of positivity is the life of Caleb. He was not living in a time frame when a lot of people were being positive. He was one of the only few people that was positive in the camp of the Israelites. I want to begin this morning talking about a situation in which he was found to be positive, and that was his strength of character in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Now, in Numbers 13, many of you may remember this chapter because certain spies are sent into Canaan. They finally arrived at the gates, or at the city, if you will, and about to cross over. God has said that he already gave the people and the lands into the hands of the Israelites. It's already been accomplished, already done. But to just confirm that they knew what they were walking into, a little preparation, they sent one spy from each of the 12 tribes of Israel to go over and to scope out the land. I forget that I'm doing this today. Oh, I'm not. Just kidding. All right, Scott, I messed it up. Okay, you fixed it. Thank you, Scott. I forgot I have a little clicker now. I always kind of mess up. Anyway, Numbers 13. Talking about the spies sent into Canaan, we find the number of the people listed, the names of those who are listed there in this text between verses 4 and about 16. Now, in this list, we have two that stand out to us, right? We have Caleb and we have Joshua. These two folks go over there, and they are two of the 12 that are sent to go spy out the land. In verse 17, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south and go into the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether they dwell in land that is good or bad. The cities they inhabit are like camps or like strongholds. Land is rich or poor, there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land.'" This is the season of the first ripe grapes. So verse 21, they go and they spy out that land. And if we look over in this particular chapter again to chapter 14, and then verse 10. And the congregation said, I'm sorry, we'll jump up here to verse 6. They come back, I'm losing my place here in the chapter. "But Joshua and the son of Nun and Caleb, or the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, and tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the people of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. For their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us, and do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before the people of Israel. So again, to summarize what took place, they went out into the land of Canaan. They saw the tall people that were men of war. They saw their beautifully fortified cities, saw all their livestock and all their fruit. They came back from seeing all those things in that land of Canaan. 10 of them came back with a negative report, saying to Moses and the people, "There is no way for us to go and conquer that land. It would have been better for us to just go die in the wilderness or to go back to Egypt." Again, that seems to be a common thread of negativity among the people of Israel at this point in time. Joshua and Caleb, though, came back with positive reports. They remembered that God was with them. God gave them that land. Although the people were stronger, God had brought them to that point, and he knew that they were going to be successful in conquering the land. We find that after this, there was a condemnation brought upon that generation. Because they doubted the Lord, because they rebelled against his orders, then they were not allowed to enter into that promised land. They would go and they would wander that wilderness until that entire generation died. Besides Joshua and besides Caleb, they would all pass away, and that next generation would go and conquer land under Joshua's leadership. So the first point for us to focus on this morning about the strength of Caleb being the power of his positivity is he was one of the few, the minority, that was positive about the report from the land of Canaan. Secondly, there's a situation recorded in the book of Joshua. Let's turn there together. Joshua chapter 14, beginning in verse 6. Now this is, of course, after the Numbers incident, that entire generation passed away. Joshua and Caleb and all those of the next generation were to go on and conquer the land. And they were doing just that. They got very far in conquering the Canaanite property. Now, there's a situation coming up here where Caleb gets old. Happens to us all. But he has one more request of where he wants to go in the promised land. Again, Joshua 14, beginning in verse 6. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back the word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." Verse 10, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and here I am this day, 85 years old." Now keep in mind here, we have a life expectancy of someone in this particular time frame to not be much more beyond this. The days of people living to 120, 150 are basically behind us with Moses. And now from this point forward, what we consider a semi-normal lifetime expectancy is similar to what they have there. So he is an 85-year-old man. If you want to kind of bring that number down, imagine someone about 75 years old around our time period. In verse 11, "As yet I am strong as this day, as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." This is not hyperbole. I use sarcasm a lot, and this is not sarcasm. Caleb is saying, that he is just as physically strong to go to combat at 85 years old as he was when he was 40 years old. Anyone 85 in our congregation today? Or close to 85? Somewhere around 85? 86? 86 years old. Are you stronger, weaker than when you were 40?
Nope.
Not as strong, huh? Well, Caleb was as strong as he was when he was 40 years old. That is amazing. He could have given up. He could have retired, let these young whippersnappers take the front lines. And yet Caleb says, I'm just as strong as I was when that promise was made to me. Now verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there. The cities were great and were fortified. Now I want to kind of pause here and make mention of one thing you may or may not be aware of. The Anakim were the giants in the land. And they didn't live in little huts. They lived in citadels, in fortresses, in castles that were well defended on the top of mountains. All right? This is not the easiest place to go and be a victor over when it comes to combat. In verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord his God. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Not only did Caleb have the power of positivity, when he went over, he spied out the land. He saw that it was a good, rich, beautiful land that God could give to them. They was denied to go when he was 40. He came back when he was 85. They conquered the majority of the land, and he, as an 85-year-old man, led the charge against the strongest of the cities, of the strongest Anakim in the area, a city that was named after the strongest of those giants in that land. He went up against the boss of that entire property, and he called it Hebron after that. Now, I want to mention one thing to you about the power of this positivity. It was strongly emphasized here in our text, Joshua chapter 14, 6 through 15, in verse 8 and in verse 15, that he wholly followed the Lord. That was the source of his strength. That was the source of his positivity. Let's look over in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30 just for a moment. Deuteronomy 30, beginning in verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set today before you life and death. Life and good, rather, death and evil. Verse 16, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land where you are going to possess. Verse 17, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you that you will surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land when you cross over to Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you. Today I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life in the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Caleb was present at this point in time when God delivered this word through the mouth of Moses to the people. He was aware that there was a choice before him, that he could obey the voice of God and be blessed, have his life prolonged and be multiplied, or he could rebel against the word of God, be cursed, and that would lead to death. He knew about that choice. He knew that God was the one that caused the Red Sea to part, to allow the Israelites to walk across as if it were dry land, and then that Red Sea to swallow up the Egyptian army. He saw the rock that gushed forth water to supply that life-giving water to the Israelites in the middle of a barren land. He saw the manna come down from heaven to be given as a blessing to the Israelites to allow them to eat that kind of bread to survive in the wilderness. And he knew about the protection of God. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 5, "Then the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper and multiply you more than your fathers." Now, verses 9 through 10 of that text, it reads this way, "The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of the land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul." He recognized the source of his strength, the source of his positivity. Didn't rely on his own power. Didn't rely on his own strength as an 85-year-old man. He knew that because he had followed God, because he was faithful to him, God promised that his life was going to be successful and that he would allow this blessing to come upon him by the way of overcoming this mountain. As he was present that day before Moses, and he was given the opportunity to choose between life and death, positivity and negativity, it reminds all of us that we have that same choice today. Brethren, you have the choice to either be negative, as the Israelites mostly were, or be positive, like Caleb, like Joshua, like Moses, and overcome the enemy to be victorious. One thing to mention about this, it's sometimes difficult, but we have to make that choice. Caleb did not have, by any means, an easy, carefree life. He fought these battles, but he overcame because he knew in whom he had his trust, who protected him through all these pieces of combat and throughout his life. He was protected by God and God's will. Same thing is true for us, brethren. We have the choice every morning to either look at this next day through a negative light or a positive light, trusting in God. To be able to trust in God fully for all eternity, you have to be faithful in Christ. You have to hear the word of God. You have to believe it. You have to repent of your sins. You have to confess Christ as Lord and be baptized to have your sins washed away. When you've done those things, you're now a part of the kingdom or the nation of God. You're a part of this kingdom. And how you continue from that day forward will determine your success and your happiness in this physical life. Are you trusting in God's providence, trusting in his plan, trusting in his protection? I pray that you are. If anyone has a need to come forward this morning to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to begin your walk with God, or if you are a Christian but you have been walking in negativity, and you want to change your mindset this morning and focus on the plan of God to receive his protection, please come forward now. Stand and we sing.